The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. Support your healthy CoQ10 levels and blood pressure with 2 chews a day. Visit RadioBeats.com and save 15% with promo code DEAL.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome to the Dogs Podcast. Let's kick this thing off.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Zach Kopp, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Dogs. Well, the Browns season officially came to a close with our 22-17 loss to the Chiefs in the divisional round of the playoffs. Browns finished the season with 12 wins, which, if you're keeping track, is four times as many as Hugh Jackson got in 3 years as the Browns head coach. So, good for us. Before we get into our thoughts on the game and the season as a whole, remember to check us out on Facebook. Tap the share button. Thanks to everybody who's watching us live. Twitter, Instagram. Check us out on the AGA app on your smart TVs and your Rokus. You can also catch us live on there. We look better in HD. Check it out. Yeah. Please continue to subscribe on YouTube. That's really picked up lately. I just get on there every day and check and see how many more subscribers we got. We're still figuring out how to get our custom URL, so as soon as we get that, we'll put it out to you guys. Also want to remind you guys to check out our friends at Thrive Fantasy. Use promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S. Get your 100% match on deposits of $20 or more, up to $50. You got a few more NFL games you can play some prop bets on there. I haven't had much luck lately, but I'm hoping to turn that around here in the championship rounds. Also, it's getting cold out, so get yourselves a dog hoodie. Check out getlevelpod.com/store. The hoodies are fresh.
That's right.
I know other people besides Josh who have gotten them and they love them, so don't just take our word for it. Check them out for yourself. They are really awesome. Do want to remind you guys, we got a cool new feature. You can check out thedogspodcast.com. On the right-hand side of the webpage, you'll see an area where you can leave us an actual voicemail. So you can call in, leave a voicemail to the show. You know, thoughts on the season, thoughts on the game, you know, you don't like my haircut, whatever you want to say about the show, you can call in, say it, then we can play it live on the show, then we can talk about it, get your guys' feedback. You know, we got a long off season, so let us know what you think of the Browns, because we don't plan on going anywhere. It might get a little bit more sporadic, but we're going to be with you guys all off season.
That's right. And I mean, I feel like we've kind of brought a decent fan base along with us
This
season, and we want to keep it going. And the thing is, like you said from the beginning, this show is for fans by fans. So we want the fans to let us know what they think of all that stuff you just said. So yeah, leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show.
Yeah.
Within reason.
Yeah. As the Browns season comes in, and I do want to thank you guys. You know, we started this back in March, and you know, we had nobody listening to us, you know, 30 some weeks later. I feel like, you know, because of you guys, I look forward to doing this every week. We got, you know, a kind of a small dedicated fan base we're working up, and we really appreciate everybody tuning in, checking it out. It's really awesome. And we're hoping to just keep taking this thing to the next level. And we can't do that without you guys. So again, thank you.
Love it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Absolutely. Seriously, it's been a great season, which we'll get into here. Yeah,
we'd like to thank the Browns for being worth talking about this year.
Right.
Imagine if we just started this in 0-16. Or 1-15, and then we had to follow it up with 0-16.
We would have had to put in a little explicit down in the right-hand corner.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there's no way I was talking about those games without dropping some friendly words. So we'll move into this Chiefs game. Obviously, it didn't go the way we wanted, but I just want to pose this question to you guys. You know, I know how I felt after the game. How did you guys... Clock hit zero. Browns lose 22-17. Go. What were your immediate reactions?
All right. I'll start it off. So I always thought that I would be absolutely devastated by something like this. Don't get me wrong, like the clock hit zero and I don't want to say the word was disappointed. I guess a little sad. But we had a hell of a year.
Right.
guys, like I'm super proud. I took it way better than I ever thought I would. Obviously it's one game. I'm hoping that there's a future being built here. Like, this isn't the next, you know, I'm going to be 18 years older and we're going to be like, I remember in 2020 in the year of the coronavirus, the last time the Browns made it. Right. No, but I'm thinking that I have a lot of hope for this team, and I'm very proud. I think you saw that through social media all week. You had fans lining up to see him land, you know, at the airport. Like, the only other time I'd say I'm more proud of Cleveland sports would be the Cavs in 2016. Other than that, Browns have always been the number one squad for me, and so this is, it's crazy, really important.
Yeah, I mean, if you would have looked back and said at the beginning of the year, hey, you're going to make it to the second round of the playoffs, play the Chiefs, you're going to lose 22-17, I think we'd all would have taken that in a heartbeat.
Yes.
Now, obviously, Mahomes got hurt. He was kind of banged up early on, but they looked like they were unstoppable. Our defense wasn't going to stop them at all. Henny comes in the game, and it kind of got us all thinking. I think it got a lot of fans all over, not even just Browns fan, thinking, hey, they're going to pull us out and knock the Chiefs out because Mahomes got hurt. Now they got to play Chad Henne. And credit to Chad Henne. He came in, you know, he threw the one bad pick, but they relied on him there. He made the two biggest plays in the game, I would say. Absolutely. The run and then the gutsy fourth down call.
Insane.
I'd say the three biggest plays of the game, but the play before that run, he hit the running back on that little
right,
check down.
Right. Yep. Yes. So, I mean, it was a great game. I think the Browns showed us a lot of things this year. And in this game, I think that they showed, you know, offensively that they could do some things to hang in that moment, but they got to shore up the other side of the ball. It kind of was like, hey, we're almost to that level. We're almost there. But I think, you know, the Chiefs, they were the better team that day.
Oh, for sure. And for me, I was already processing the loss when the clock hit zero, because when they got that first down, you know, I was away from the TV at that moment. I'll be honest with you, whenever we punted with 4 minutes left to go, I was already like, okay, this game's over. And you guys know how negative I was being during the game.
The most negative Cleveland fan I've ever met in my life. I told him, I said, we got to work on your positivity, bro.
Oh,
we got to work on it.
As soon as we punted, though, I was like, well, we're not going to get the ball back. There's no way. There's no way I had any confidence in that defense.
See, that's where I differ. I thought if Mahomes is in the game, one, we don't punt. I don't think there's any way we punt. But it's against Chad Henne. He just threw the most atrocious interception in playoff history.
Man, it was
there
terrible.
There was no doubt in my mind we were going to get a stop. Baker was going to get a chance to get the ball back and go do something we've wanted to watch Cleveland quarterback do forever.
Man, and it hurt. The biggest thing that really hurt in that second half was the timeout we had to take on offense after we just – I can't remember exactly when it was. It was on one of our last drives before. It might have been on our scoring drive.
It was on the drive we punted. We took the timeout, and then we ended up getting
because we let the play clock just – I mean, we were taking our merry old time, and I get why you have to take the timeout.
Yep.
But, man, it killed us. And then having the fourth down and it being fourth down 8, fourth down and 9, if that's fourth down and 4, we're going for it. Because you can say, hey, we hold them to a field goal, you know. But it being fourth and 9, you know, your chances of picking it up weren't great.
It almost seemed like Stefanski was putting all of his eggs into that 5-minute offense.
Yeah.
He was like, we're going to take up this whole time. We're going to go score. They're not going to get the ball back. Because he was like, I don't want to put the defense on the field. So we took that timeout, which was, I think by taking that timeout, you're saying we're putting our exit. This is it.
Yeah.
You know, and then, but then our plays
weren't great
were terrible. And I didn't get to watch the Chiefs that much. You know, they're not on our TV that often. I don't know if they're always this blitz happy, but we seemed very unprepared for how much they blitzed.
Yeah. And we talked about it. I mean, their defensive coordinator, he's really good. You know, their game plan coming in were, hey, we're going to press coverage everybody, and we're going to blitz. We're going to send two more guys, and they can block, and their running back's going to have to pick up one. The other guy's going to be running free. Baker's going to have to make the right decision, and he's going to have to throw in tight windows. And he did that, you know, to an extent. But in the fourth quarter, we didn't complete a pass more than 5 yards down the field.
No, he's getting the ball out quick, and credit to – I think – coming into this game, the word on Baker is that against pressure, he's not good. And I think he's gotten better at it the last month and a half or so. But there's still that stigma that against pressure, he's a below average quarterback. So they were like, we're gonna pressure this guy. And credit to Baker, I thought he played very solid. I thought he played, you know, big boy football. But when they're blitzing the crap out of you, you got to get rid of the ball. You know, you can't take sacks. And this kind of – I told you guys this, you know, earlier before we came on the air and right after the game, I think we missed Odell in this game. Because if a team is blitzing you like that, you should have people open. And we really didn't have people. Even the plays we did hit downfield were amazing throws by Baker.
Yeah, go ahead, Josh.
I was going to say, we definitely – it was very apparent we did not have that playmaker. Like,
yeah.
Because, you know, watching it with my family and some people that don't watch football as intensively as I do are like, what's this guy doing running around the back? Like, because Tyreek Hill would come in motion, then he would motion back this way, motion back the other way. I'm like, because they have at least one, if not two, maybe three people eyeing him at every moment. Mm-hmm. So if he's back there running around distractions, they can they can just write what they want.
Yeah. Right.
And we don't have that threat.
Scheme can only get you so far. You know, Freddie had no scheme. You know, and I screamed about that all year last year. And Stefanski, you know, he schemed up an amazing offense this year. It's a big reason why our offense has been as explosive as it was. I mean, you could make the argument coming into this game, the Browns had a more explosive offense on paper than the Chiefs.
Statistically, yeah.
Yes. So, but at the same time, at the end of the day, though, you got to have some players sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jarvis is obviously amazing, but he's not a deep threat. That's never been his game the entire career. Donovan Peoples-Jones is maybe going to get there.
Yeah.
You know, he shows flashes of it, but are we counting on our sixth-round rookie draft pick who never had a 100-yard game in college to be that guy for us in the AFC divisional round? So I know people are saying, a lot of people are saying, get rid of Odell, all this stuff, you know, but I think one, what you're going to get back for him is not going to be worth it.
No.
I think especially coming off another injury, like Justin said, the best you're going to get is probably third round pick, maybe.
I don't even know if you're going to get, I think third, fourth round, and then you're probably going to swap like a fifth.
So
it's worth keeping him at that point.
Keep him, and you just got to sit down and have an honest talk with him and say, listen, you know, this is the offense, and we're going to put you into this offense, and you're going to gel into it. The offense isn't going to gel into you.
Yeah, well, and I think a big thing coming into this game, I give a lot of credit to the Chiefs' defense. You know, not great all year long, but they didn't look like that against the Browns this week. They came to play. You know, they were blitzing their coverage on all the wide receivers. Now, regardless, we didn't have that playmaker. I mean, they were right there on every single – I mean, they weren't missing tackles like the Browns do, not pushing guys out of bounds. Just, you know, it was – they came to play defensively, and Stefanski didn't adjust. That's what that – I mean, we kind of did in the second half, but the Chiefs kind of went into the, hey, we're up by a bunch at halftime. You know, they still had Mahomes at the time. The Browns finally were able to move the ball. They didn't anticipate Mahomes getting hurt. They're thinking, hey, defensively, we can, you know, just keep them in front of us. We'll give up some yards. They score on a six-minute drive, so be it. We're going to go down scoring 3 minutes. That's kind of probably where they were at. And Brown's biggest things this year, running the football, didn't do it that well. You take out a couple of the Nick Chubb runs in the third quarter, that was really it. You take those out, and it was very small average. It was like almost under a yard.
Kareem Hunt didn't touch the ball till the second half.
I know.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that.
Well, what was that all about?
Running the football was the big thing, and then being able to do play-action passes. The Chiefs took away both of those aspects and said, beat us just throwing the ball, dropping back in shotgun. We're going to blitz you. Let's see you beat us that way. And it almost kind of resembled kind of what Sean McVay had to do in L.A., where people kind of figured it out, and they took away his game plan, and then everybody was like, man, maybe this guy, you know, isn't that great. Maybe he was a one-hit wonder. He had to adjust. And now they can do just about everything offensively. So I think that we're going to see a growth. I think Stefanski will adjust this year, and I think that helps – and Odell, I think you kind of mold him now that you see, hey, this is our playbook, and then if we have to, we go to this scenario, and this is where, like, Odell's, like, the main guy.
And I think you saw, you know, Odell got hurt pretty early in the season, and I think you saw that the offense from when Odell got hurt and before has developed and morphed a ton then. I feel like the playbook, I expected to see us literally under center, like pounding the rock almost exclusively.
Now, like 80% of the time.
Yeah. So just like, you know, and by the season, Baker, I knew we were down in this game, but he threw 37 times. He's been throwing the ball close to 30 times a game. Mm-hmm. You know, this belief that we were going to pound the rock 45, 50 times a game and Baker was only going to throw the ball 15 times, that's what it was at the beginning of the year. But as we got more comfortable in this offense, we started putting more in. Baker started showing that he could handle more responsibility. It's really morphed. So I'd like to see Odell play in this end-of-the-year offense as opposed to the limited offense he was playing in at the beginning of the season.
It'll be really interesting to see what happens with that whole situation, how it unfolds.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, did anyone else feel like when that game started with the Chiefs, I was expecting the amount of energy and everything that the Browns came out with against Pittsburgh the week before? Like, they came out swinging against Pittsburgh. I mean, it was haymakers, baby. Like, they were leaving nothing back. And with the Chiefs, I just almost felt like they started off slow and safe and cautious or whatever. And it was like, where's that team that just whooped Pittsburgh last week?
I felt for the first time, obviously I've been screaming, I think Stefanski's coach of the year. But for the first time this season, I felt the Browns were doing things we hadn't done all season. We were beating ourselves, which is something, you know, we've talked about a ton that, you know, that's what old Browns used to do. You know, this team hasn't been doing that. You know, there were some coaching decisions where I was like, I don't quite understand. I know we've been screaming all season about getting Nick Chubb the ball more because, you know, he averages 6 yards a carry and, you know, he'll be averaging 6 yards a carry. Then all of a sudden we put Kareem Hunt in and he gets 2 yards. And we're like, what the hell's going on? Why'd you take Chubb out? But in this game, I think Kareem Hunt was so up for this game.
Yeah. Yep.
And you could tell.
Well, that drive where he got the ball in the red zone, it was almost like they said, we're going to get you we get in the red zone. We're going to use Chubb. We get in the red zone. It's going to be your time. It's kind of like how it felt. Mm. And he was an animal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, get this man the ball. He is hungry to prove something in this game.
That was my thing in the first half was, so the run for Chubb wasn't there. He was dropping passes. They even said on the broadcast, the lights look a little too bright for him right now. I think maybe they were at the beginning. So instead of, I feel like it wasn't working for Chubb, so we went to the pass game. It's like, if it's not working for Chubb, do what got you here, man. Run the ball, but just bring Hunt in to get that little, maybe, you know, shot in the arm that you need right in the beginning of the game.
Yep. For the first time, it looked like the Chiefs had been here before and the Browns hadn't, which is obviously the case.
Yeah.
you know, the last time the Browns were in the playoffs, half the guys on our team were probably under 5 years old.
Yep.
So, you know, in some of that's to be expected. They just made a Super Bowl run, and we're trying to get to that point where, you know, we can say we have that kind of experience. Hopefully, you know, in the years to come, while we're still in this window, we can use this experience, not only our players, but our coaching staff. So,
yeah, I think that's a huge key right there is we've got this core group of players now, and now they've all got 2 games of very good playoff experience under this head coach. Not bad for a rookie head coach, too.
Right. So I got a quick side note here on the Odell situation. Yeah. Going back to that. Does it bug anybody that we never saw him show up to any games to be on the sidelines?
He's probably not allowed.
But there's other injured players are on the sideline.
Yeah, but they're not done for the season.
Yeah, so I don't know. I was curious. I was trying to find if there was a rule on that.
No.
Because normally see that.
He's in New York rehabbing, I think, with Barkley.
Yeah,
I read.
I saw that they were rehabbing together, but you see that, you know, that
Saquon was at the Browns versus Giants game because they showed him up in the box.
Yep, he was.
But
that was
in his home state.
It was.
In his home state.
That's true. With the COVID stuff, I don't know.
Odell wasn't even at any Browns. I mean, you didn't see him other than his, like, all of a sudden, like, would tweet or get on Twitter and be like, hey, go Browns, you know, hey, we're coming for you next week type. You'd see that type stuff.
I think.
Or, hey, they're coming for you next week. Not we. He never said we.
I looked at that.
It was just like a side note. I know you would think if it's your biggest player, he'd be there on the sideline, you know, if he was.
I'm guessing it had something to do with COVID.
So that'd be interesting to know.
Could be, but I see what you're saying about the wording, you know, he chose.
Yeah.
To me, the wording was he doesn't want to, he wasn't going to take credit away from the team's accomplishments when he had nothing to do with them.
That's very honorable of you.
That's the way I look at that.
Yeah, I was just curious about
that. Quit making Odell into a distraction when he's never been a distraction for the Browns. The only distraction is that other people make him a distraction.
Publicly. He's not been a public distraction.
Right.
And since none of us are in the locker room, we shouldn't assume, because you know what they say about assuming.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that don't know.
It was just a question, because I couldn't remember ever seeing him there. Like, you know, they panned to, like, when Alex Smith was hurt, they show him on the sideline. He's over there, and he's talking it up with Heinicke about, like, different things. You just never got those glimpses.
As we move back into this game a little bit, if there's one stat line that defines the deficiencies in our offense in this game, Jarvis Landry, 7 catches for 20 yards.
Yeah. Yep.
2.9 yard average. I've never seen a stat line like that.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of catches right around the line of scrimmage, and credit, it was normally Jarvis catches that, you know, little 2 yard pass and he turns it upfield for another 10 yards. Mm-hmm. Chiefs were right there. Yep. On it. They were like, yeah, no, we've seen you try to do that every single week.
Yep. His longest catch was 7 yards. So at one point he was 6 for 13. 6 catches for 13 yards. I mean,
that's a
glaring deficiency.
Jamison Crowder, that's like his MO. He'll catch 11 passes and have like 50 yards in a game. It's like, okay.
So,
we'll go ahead. You finish your thing on Jarvis.
I think that's more of a credit, though, to the Chiefs defense. Like we said, it's efficient tackling. That's the right scheme. They looked prepared for what they wanted to do and what they wanted to make us.
It appeared to me like we looked more prepared for the game that we hadn't practiced for, if that makes sense. We finally had a week of practice, had our team healthy, and we looked almost surprised by what they were bringing at us.
We did.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
A bright spot of the offense, I thought, was David Njoku. He had 4 catches for 59 yards.
Yeah, shout out to David for stepping up when you got Hooper, 2 for 16. Highest paid tight end in the league. You can't even hold a candle to Travis Kelce, man.
He's not the highest paid anymore.
I don't think anybody can.
He was at one point.
He was at the time, yeah.
I'm just saying...
He made his 2 catches, though. One of them was a big catch.
Oh, my gosh. His one catch that he caught it, like, pinned it on the ground. His hand was underneath the ball. Insane.
Yeah,
I know Austin Hooper didn't put up the gaudy stats we were used to seeing him put up in Atlanta, but did we expect that to happen?
No.
No, I don't think we expected that.
And I thought he had there's one big drop this year that really, you know, we were all screaming about. But other than that, I thought he made, whenever his number was called, I thought he made big catch after big catch this year.
Yeah, I mean, he did. He showed up and made those big catches. I kind of see what Josh is saying. You know, you expect maybe that he's not going to be outproduced yardage-wise. And Njoku finally showed some glimpses of this year of what we thought he was going to be when we drafted him. This big, athletic, you know, could go up and just – you could throw the ball up to him and he was going to catch it. Yep. Linebackers couldn't guard him type of thing. And glad that he bought in. I don't know if this was his last year in Cleveland on his deal.
Didn't they pick up his 5th-year option?
They did.
So we have him through next season.
I hope he's back because, one, I thought he was a really good teammate this year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, he could have thrown a hissy fit.
Could have.
Going from 1 on the depth chart to, you know, arguably 3rd.
Well, that's what's interesting is he did, kind of. He demanded a trade. He was, he wanted out at some point there in the beginning.
According to Mary Kay Cabot.
Okay, fair. But, you know, she wasn't the only one reporting that. So there was something going on there, but... I mean, I think that's a huge credit to the coaching staff, the front office, that just the culture that we've built there now is to see a guy like David who's like, I don't want to be here if you're going to, you know, put people ahead of me and all this stuff. And then by the end of the season, he's out there making big plays, being a great teammate.
I thought he had a solid year. I pulled up his stats. He had 19 catches for 213 yards and 2 touchdowns.
For a third string tight end.
So that's 11.2 yard average per catch. And I felt like his catches seemed I can remember 19.
He was hurt for a little while too.
You know, they were big catches, and again against the Chiefs, he looked like one of our more explosive players. So I'd like to see him back again, kind of like the Odell thing. See how we can incorporate him more into. I think he showed a lot with his blocking this year.
Oh, he
became
definitely
a much improved blocker. Yep. Much improved.
Yeah.
So, Josh, if we get to go to training camp this year, you see him on the bag this time, he'll be doing a good job for you.
Yeah, because he did not last time, but that was also 2 years ago. So
right. That's we've touched on the offense. Now we got to talk about the defense.
Yeah,
and or lack thereof. And I think this box score can be deceiving because you see that we only gave up 22 points to the Kansas City Chiefs. I feel like that could have been 220.
I feel like I say the same thing every week about the defense, and is we can't tackle.
Mack Wilson is the worst tackling linebacker in the NFL.
We struggle. We struggle. We keep doing it. Me and Blake have talked about this. Like, I know we're are they for sure bringing Joe Woods back next year? You said he's coming back.
They said they plan on keeping the coaching staff intact.
I feel like we say the same thing every week. These guys were good players, and then they got to Cleveland, and they just look lost. And, like, I don't know if going into the game, it's not like it's the Chiefs. It's every game.
Right.
We could be playing the Jets.
It's Mike Glennon.
Yeah.
That's what I told you guys. You said, we got Henny's in there. I said, Mike Glennon, guys. I mean.
Yeah. So I guess the only argument you can make for Joe Woods is, one, do you know any high-profile, really good defensive coordinators that are available out there? So you're going to be hiring some
Rex Ryan.
You're going to be hiring some linebackers coach who's trying to, make the next jump, which is essentially what Joe Woods was. Two, is it unfair to judge him when he played the season without a lot of games without Myles Garrett, lost Olivier Vernon, no Grant Delpit, no Greedy Williams? Yep.
Denzel missed four games.
Denzel missed games.
A lot of practice squad guys out there.
So is it fair to judge him in that? Did we even get to see what a Joe Woods defense would look like, or did he have to scale it way back because of all the practice squad guys and stuff in? I don't know. I know for me, as soon as the game was done, I immediately said, you got to fire Joe Woods before we even get back to Cleveland.
Leave him there.
Yeah, he's not even allowed on the plane. Yeah. Right? Isn't that what you said?
Make him catch a bus because – I don't understand the strategy sometimes. Why, at any point, if we're going to go man-to-man on Tyreek Hill, that man should be Denzel Ward.
Absolutely.
Yep. He should be following him all around the field. I don't need Denzel Ward blanketing, Mecole Hardman. And we got Kevin Johnson or MJ Stewart or somebody man up on Tyreek Hill. And how many times are the Chiefs going to put Tyreek Hill in the left slot and then just run like a fade or a streak, but streak it diagonal instead of down the field?
Yeah. They ran that slot cross. That play works in Madden almost every time.
That's the play that got
it. It works against the Browns defense every time also.
So I just did not – and then game on the line, fourth and inches, we're in man, and we got Denzel's not on on Tyreek Hill. It's Kevin Johnson lined up on him. One – I would have been giving him the Calvin Johnson treatment. There would have been two people right on top of him. And one would have been to get a jam and not let him get off the line, and the other guy would have been to make sure you don't get beat deep. All that being said, if you are going to play him one-on-one man, he needs an inch to end the game. So why are you worried about getting beat deep, Kevin Johnson?
That play.
Chad Henne said Hutt, and Kevin Johnson immediately bailed. Tyreek Hill didn't even have to run a route. He could have just turned around and caught the ball for an inch.
And just fell over the line for the first down.
Why an inch is the game? If he beats you deep for a touchdown, it doesn't matter.
Right.
An inch is the game. Yep. And it's to me, that's coaching. You got to talk to your guys. Listen, they need an inch. It's situational football and defense. And at any point, it could be third and 50, and I'd be like, well, they're probably going to pick this up.
Chad Henne's going to scramble for 50 yards.
And it's all – and like you said, it's not just against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
It's against the Jaguars with Mike Glennon.
Yep.
Can we talk about that
Sam
play,
Darnold?
That last play, just for 1 second. Andy Reid is
gutsy.
A savage.
You don't pick that up, you get the Browns the ball at midfield.
Yeah. I literally was screaming at my TV, and I'm like, don't jump, don't jump, don't jump. And they hiked the ball, and I was like.
Because that would have been us.
I almost said a swear word.
We would have jumped.
I didn't say it.
Is it really gutsy, though?
Yes.
Is there any
it's super gutsy.
Is there any chance they're not going
to
pick it up?
I think it's gutsy to maybe throw the pass there,
Yeah.
Expecting the Browns to play like they should have been playing. That, hey, they're just going to try to throw, an out or a short slant, a quick pass. That's how the Browns should have been thinking if they were going to run this play.
No.
The Browns went to the play. They think they're not running. No, we're just not jumping.
No. See, Andy Reid had a different luxury than what Kevin Stefanski had, though. He had the, he had the mentality of, well, if we don't get it, I'll just put my defense out there.
Yeah, we're shutting him down right now. I agree.
He's got confidence in his defense, which is why I was a little bit, like Stefanski punted that with 4 minutes to go. I'm like, I don't know if I would have. I really don't know because
And we had shown,
and I just want to make sure you guys, is my box score correct here? They didn't punt, right? Kansas City did not punt?
No.
They scored every drive except for that interception. So it's either they were a touchdown or a field goal.
Yeah.
Every drive.
I feel like you had there. You can't tell me that when it was 3rd and 15 or whatever.
Oh, we're getting the ball back.
You thought there was no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, but we didn't have much time. Even if we did get the ball back we would have had less than a minute.
Yeah, it'd have been like 55 seconds.
Yeah. On 3rd and 15. With no timeouts.
On 3rd and 15, I was like, we're getting the ball back. We're winning
this game. I was ready for like a screenplay. You know, they're going to pick up 7-8 yards. Then they're going to punt it to us. Browns were going to have a chance.
Yeah,
I was doing the math. Like, okay, how much time we're going to have left? Yep. It was like between 40 and 50 or something like that second.
So it was gutsy to make that. But he knew his defense was, you know, shutting him down. And he knew, I have Tyreek Hill, fastest guy in the NFL. Again, you know, I don't care if it would have been against Denzel Ward. If I'm Andy Reid, I'm thinking, hey, I need 1 yard, not even 1 yard.
Yep.
I'm trusting Tyreek Hill. Chad Henne's going to make that throw because it's not a terribly hard throw to make.
Oh, especially when he's wide open.
You know, it's not like he's throwing a 5 yard out. That's more difficult. He's throwing just a little turn 1 yard up the field go route.
Yep.
And he was so open. And to me, like, he has Tyreek Hill. That's our Odell. That would be for us, that's Odell in that situation for us.
Yeah, but Odell would probably be covered.
Yeah, we wouldn't be luckily. No,
he would have been double covered. Yeah. Exactly. They would have forced us to go to our second or third option. Right.
And we've been throwing to Harrison Bryant.
Yes, and in the Joe Woods defense, you don't got to have a second or third option. Your first option will be
wide
open. We
saw that all year, man. If you're a number one receiver on the team against the Browns, you're having yourself a day.
Yeah, the biggest thing.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yep.
Yeah.
He has had 100 yards in umpteen years. Has 150 yards against
the covering,
us.
I felt like whatever guy they wanted, there was always one guy open, like wide open. Nobody within 5-10 yards of him. Whether it was a running back coming out into the flat, nobody around him. And then we couldn't make a tackle either.
No.
And we have one linebacker with speed.
Yeah, but if you look up Pro Football Focus, the Browns have 3 of the top 25 linebackers in the NFL.
It's unreal.
I'd like to know what it's graded on a curve. Apparently. Yeah.
That was like my Kent Stark curve when I was 19, when I was barely showing up to class. You guys did well for me.
Yeah. Right.
Tried to make me a good man. So. Can we talk about one other thing with the defense, too? And we're putting a lot of emphasis on the passing game, and we can't stop anybody in the pass. We can't stop anybody on the ground either.
No.
I feel like if you have even a decent running back, they're going to have a good game.
And what's funny is I think our run defense is ranked. It's not like top five or anything, but we have a decently ranked run defense, but it's because everybody can just throw for 400 yards against us.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely skewed because most teams aren't running the ball against us.
If they want to.
We were scoring a lot of points too. So
right. Like the other teams are throwing the ball. So
If you do the eye test on our run defense.
Robinson killed us.
Yeah. We talked about it going into the season. I think we were all pretty confident who we had up front. You know, you had Garrett.
Yep.
You had Sheldon Richardson, Ogunjobi, and then you had Vernon. Mm-hmm. We were like, man, we got a good front four. Sheldon Richardson, Ogunjobi, they had some moments, but they weren't,
Didn't hear their names a lot.
Yeah, they weren't productive like we thought they were going to be.
In a defensive line's defense, a defensive lineman's job isn't to make tackles. Yeah. A defensive lineman's job is to eat blocks so your linebackers can make tackles. And our linebackers
are top 25.
Yes. Yeah, they did their job.
So
top 25 if you're doing...
I would love
the new math.
I would love. Right. I wish we could get our hands on like game film, zoomed up on the line. Because I like watching that kind of stuff. I would watch it and break it down.
Yeah, you would see, according to Pro Football Focus, that Taki Taki was only behind Bobby Wagner in December for best linebacker.
But, you know, when I watch the game, obviously, I'm watching the football. So, yeah. You know, it's hard to, like, pick up on that kind of stuff when I'm watching on TV. But, so before we move off of this game, there's obviously one more thing we got to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
It changed the whole complexion of the game.
Yeah.
It was the Rashard Higgins right before the half. It looks like the Browns are about to score. Changed the whole complexion of the game. Put the Chiefs, you know, in chase mode against us instead of us chasing them. He gets helmet-to-helmet hit, the goal line, fumbles it through the end zone, out of the side of the end zone. Touchback, Chiefs get the ball at their own 20, get to go down and get 3 points before the half. One, probably the dumbest rule in football, and two, how does that tackle not get called?
That rule has played out so many times, I feel like, this season alone. Every time it's happened, anyone talking about it has said exactly what you just said. Dumbest rule in football. Why is that a thing?
Why is it if you would have fumbled it an inch closer to himself and it went out at the half-inch line, it would have been Brown's ball at the half-inch line? But because it went a foot further, it's Chiefs ball at their own at the 20.
Right.
That makes zero sense. And you'll never convince me that if it was switched and Tyreek Hill was diving for the goal line and Sendejo helmet-to-helmet tackled him, 100% gets called. 100%.
Because Sorensen came in like a missile.
His arms
were back.
Yes.
I mean, he was.
Yes.
I mean, you look at the still shot of that. I mean,
literally.
He was face first to the ground.
It's literally crown of helmet into the side of Higgins' head. It's the poster tackle for what not to do and what the NFL is trying to stop. Roger Goodell's in attendance.
Yes, that's exactly it. In this day and age of player safety, you got to be kidding me. Like, come on now.
And then they go and review that play, and they see it, and they can't call it now? Why is that not at least – you mean to tell me they went Al Riveron, watched that wherever he was, and was like, well, damn, I guess we missed that one.
I don't think they could have done anything, though, man. You know, they were literally looking at only that play. They were only able to look at
the fumble. No, but the thing is, these guys are so trained on the field to see that.
Yeah. I think if the game's going to – sucks because I feel like the offenses are already, like, big-time tailored to. Like, they're, like – that's what you're seeing.
I'm a big proponent is you should be allowed to hit as hard as you want.
Right.
But I learned in peewee football
– don't hit him
that you can't lead with the crown of your head. Right. First of all, it's not only a safety issue for the guy you're hitting.
It's bad
for
you.
You're going to break your own neck.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing that, man. I'm just saying, I hate that what if, like – because if we're saying that, then – the Browns have won like 5 Super Bowls in my life. The Cavs are like have won millions of times. Kevin Durant's not getting a phone call, and you know from the parking garage at Oracle Stadium. You know, like I hate what ifs. It sucks.
What are you saying it's stupid. That you hate? Like
what? I'm just saying like
because it's just not what happened.
Yeah, it's just not what happened. It doesn't do it.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying how does it not get called?
How does it not get called? Well, it didn't, bro. It's what day is it?
Wednesday? But it's a podcast about Browns games. If we're not going to talk about
things,
we just shouldn't have a podcast.
No, I'm just saying well, there's nothing that
if you compare. So there was it was Mahomes' mom said that Mac Wilson was evil. Yeah, for that hit or whatever.
Yeah. And I watched that a million times and couldn't figure out how it got hurt.
Because they showed it a million times. And that's the thing. Whenever he got up like woozy and he couldn't even stand on his own 2 feet, I'm like, what happened?
And then find out it wasn't even a concussion. It was like a nerve problem.
Yeah, and that's what I said as soon as – because I was watching with my parents. My mom's like, well, he didn't get hit in the head. I said, watch – because they showed 10 replays. I'm going to watch this one. And you could kind of see the way his arm was around his neck, and he bent it a little bit when they were falling to the ground. I'm like, probably something with his neck there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
– he looked lost.
And oh, my gosh, he did. Chief's
nickname for Dan Sorensen's Dirty Dan.
Yeah, they tweeted it out.
Yeah, that was a little bit questionable.
I think things that you can take away from that. One, I think the rule definitely needs looked at. I think the NFL has to. I mean, there's a glaring instant, you know, that happened, and it cost – you know, I'm not going to say
it cost. And that's the thing, Justin. I don't think it's so much the what-ifs. It's looking at it and saying, okay, yeah, what if that had happened? We don't want it to happen again to anybody.
We've even said how the referees in the playoff – look at the Saints. I mean, literally, against, what was that, the Rams? Literally, the guy was like this, and the ball wasn't even close to him yet. Right. So, like, it's one of those things where, is the refereeing in the NFL terrible? Absolutely. Should it be like college, where if a guy gets targeted, he gets kicked out of the game? Probably not. I also think that's kind of stupid. I don't know.
But they should be able to review and throw the flag.
Absolutely.
So give him 15 yards,
put him at the one or whatever.
I think that if you can review a targeting play and then decide it wasn't targeting, I think you should be able to go look at the replay to see if there was a targeting call.
Especially when it was, geez, Al.
It changed the whole game. It changed the whole
game. So I think that you got to be able, and I think it was it Gene Sartor? Was he the official that they had, back in wherever in the
New York?
Booth?
Yeah.
That I'm pretty sure he put out a tweet or something saying, this isn't a reviewable play, but I would be in favor of this being able to be reviewed.
Yeah.
Because it does change the game. I get why they don't want to have a bunch of reviews. I mean, we get kind of, it's like the NBA. You can review it; just stops the game for no.
I feel like there's not that many in the NFL, though.
I feel like that there would be more. I think if you open it up, when they did the pass interference thing, then they opened it up and it was like, okay, and then they never ruled it pass interference. But I think this is a little different.
This is different because this is clearly like you see a guy leave with the crown of his helmet. Okay. That's a no-brainer, but pass interference is so
nobody even
knows what that is in the first place.
And it's hard to call that, and especially like a hit that's helmet to helmet, you can slow it down and see the intent that was there. Pass interference, if you slow it down, you're like, yeah, he was there a half a millisecond early. you can't split hairs when you do that. So, I mean, I think it's something maybe the NFL tries out. And then if it doesn't work, they do it for a season. Then they're like, they did the pass interference thing. They were like, yeah, it's not worth it. We're not going to do it next year.
I think it would save a lot of teams the heartache too, though, because how many times do they call one of these BS targeting calls and you watch the replay and like he hit him with his shoulder in the chest?
Right.
Just because it's a hard hit doesn't make it a penalty. So I feel like if this could improve the game a lot, and it completely changed the complexion of the game because – at the time, we didn't know Pat Mahomes was going to get hurt.
Right.
But we would have been up, and they would have been chasing us with Chad Henne. So, they completely changes play calling, completely changes – it changes everything.
Yeah, so I'm not one of the – I'm not going to say, that cost us a game. We'd have won if they had called that. I'm not going to say that. Yes, does it change, like you said, how the game went, how both teams play going forward? Yes. But did the Browns still have a chance to win after that? Yes, we still got the ball back, down five, had a chance to go down and score. We blew it on that drive. We had the ball, had the chance. It was that, go down, take the lead, make them have to go down, go down, go for two, go up three, try to hold them to a field goal, get the thing into overtime at worst. And, we just didn't come through on that drive.
Again, the defense was awful,
yeah.
But we only gave up 22 points and didn't win. And I thought the winner of this game was going to need 40.
Right, definitely. Okay, so I think the Browns went into the game. I mean, we had, three drives in the first half for 3 points?
Yeah.
Three drives and a half of football. I think Stefanski said, hey, we're going to slow it down on offense. We're going to use the whole play clock on every play, and we're going to do these big 6, 7, 8-minute drives and just shrink this game down, which we thought would benefit us.
But we kept shooting ourselves in the foot on those drives.
Yep, and that's where it hurts you. You can do that and have this long, drawn-out drive. It's like saying in basketball, you're going to hold the ball for 3 minutes on offense, and then you miss a shot and you give up a three. And you're like, well, we just wasted half the quarter.
Yeah.
And we're down.
And we were living on third and eights.
Yes.
Gosh,
third
yeah.
and sixes.
Third
and 12.
I keep going back to that pass or the holding on the pass to Jarvis.
Yeah.
We finally got a little bit of momentum. We're moving the football. And then it just moved you out of field goal range, moved your back, and we weren't getting chunk plays.
I thought it was a ticky-tacky hold call, too.
Yeah, and
I think it's tough to call holding on the lineman when you're formed up on him here and he starts a spin
and
move.
And he turns, right.
And he turns into your arm, and then they call holding. Come on
right.
now. There's holding on every play, and that's the holding we're going to call.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely holding in the NFL on every single snap.
And that's the one we called. I was like, come on, guys.
Right.
Just give us a freaking break.
I think it wasn't even so much. And I think that, being an official – I mean, their job has to – I mean, I think it's got to be hard. These guys are moving, and fast, and you're trying to watch all these linemen and who's holding, who's not, and you see this guy's getting thrown to the ground. It's probably just a knee-jerk reaction that you're like, oh, yeah.
But call me crazy.
Threw him to the ground.
They were tackling the linemen for us. And how many penalties did they have?
It wasn't many.
So we had three. Which, if you think about it, I'm like, man, I remember those being like 13, three huge.
15.
Yeah, three huge penalties.
Freddie Kitchen's years, we'd have had 8 times 18. That.
Oh, my God. They had seven.
Yeah.
But I felt like, and I saw, there were times off the edge where they'd run like a sweep and we get blocked in the back. They weren't calling it. I don't know. I'm not going to blame the refs. We only scored 17 points. But
right. When it comes down to it, that's the issue.
Scored 17 points against a defense that was ranked in the bottom in almost every category.
And it goes back to that we failed in the run game early on, and it seemed like we just kind of abandoned it and said, well, this isn't working. We got to find something that works. Instead of saying, just get somebody different in there.
Yeah.
Just change it up a little bit. Don't, you know, it was almost like that Freddie knee-jerk reaction where something's not working, do something crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you don't have to. Just.
Yeah, I think, you know, offensively, I'm still crediting their defense, not getting Hunt involved. Like we said, we've seen it all year where we were preaching for more Nick Chubb. Where's Nick Chubb? Where's Nick Chubb? And we got all Nick Chubb and like no Kareem Hunt.
Yep. And he picked his worst time to
and
have.
I felt like in yep. I felt
one
like
catch for 2 yards.
What they were doing, almost maybe not even Kareem Hunt. Okay, call me crazy that I'm saying that maybe we could have had a different running. If you had a Duke Johnson type of a running back in this game that was just a little scat back out of the backfield when they were blitzing like crazy and they're saying, hey, you're not going to run the football. Well, Nick Chubb couldn't catch the football. Yep. You know, we were kind of missing maybe that James White type of a running back that you say, hey, I'm just going to throw it to you outside the line and go make one guy miss and get 15 yards.
Which for us this year was Kareem Hunt.
That should have been Kareem. That's one catch for 2 yards. Yeah, so I don't get
Nick
that.
Chubb's big, I mean, those drops that he had, I mean, were huge in that moment in the game. Now, we still fought back and had the chance to win, but I just kept thinking, like, who is this guy? This isn't the guy we've, like, come to know, you know, that he's not missing these big plays. He's the guy that we're, like, get him the ball. Get this guy the ball. You know, and
the one drop too was on a screen pass that was set up. I mean, he was gonna run. He'd still be running. It would have been like Forrest Gump when he just ran through the tunnel. Yeah. I mean, there was nobody within 20 yards of him, and he just dropped it. So, you know, well, that was our Chiefs game thoughts. You know, we got a long off season to think about this game, and as bad as it hurts, you know, I think we earned a lot of respect all around the NFL in the way we battled in this game. I think. You know, we were 10-point underdogs, and people thought we were going to get killed. And whether Chiefs fans want to admit it or not, with 5 minutes to go in that game, they were
uh-huh.
you know? Yeah, sure. So, I you know, I think we earned a lot of respect, and I think hopefully Browns can build on that good playoff experience. So, one thing I want to touch on, you know, quickly before we get out of here, just a little quick season reflection. Did the Browns answer our questions we had, you know, from our preseason episodes? I'm going to say
yes, Baker's the guy.
Yes. Did we find our quarterback?
Yes.
I would say yes. We're going to get into, you know, what kind of extension we should look at for him, you know, picking up his option in another episode. You know, do we have our coach and / GM?
100%.
Yes.
100%. So, you know, and then do we think, you know, how do you grade this season? Are you giving it an A? Are you giving it a B? What do you think of this season?
Even though we didn't win at all, I'm going A+. This is, you know, I would say it's better than what I thought. I would have gave us a great grade for, you know, winning record, making the playoffs, even losing, you know. So I'm going A+ because they did more than what I expected. And they're still – now, don't think that there's not room to grow. There's obviously room to grow to get better. But for this season, the expectations, new coach, another new offense, Baker having to learn again, defense, we really didn't know what we were going to have, injuries, everything –
coronavirus.
Everything together.
Yeah, everything.
Great
year. It was a weird year, yeah.
I'm not going to give A+ because I reserve A+ for when we win the Super Bowl.
That's an A++.
Yeah. So I'm going to go A-. I think – you know, obviously we put a lot of focus on the offense, you know, in this offseason, revamping the offense, getting the offensive line, adding Hooper, drafting Harrison Bryant, that kind of stuff. And it seems like what we put our focus on improved dramatically. We saw big answer from Baker. I like the way Baker came into this season as far as a bodybuilding standpoint. You know, he wasn't...
He looked good in his orange pants.
Yeah, he wasn't chunky this year.
Yeah,
which
he leaned up
me,
a little bit.
It showed almost like a refocus, like a recommitment to the game, you know, so I was happy to see that. And then just I picked us to go 11-5, so us going 11-5, you know, didn't completely shock me. That being said, you know, to see the Browns playing meaningful football in January, I can't put a price on that.
Yeah.
So no. To me, you know, the only thing stopping this from being, you know, A-plus for me is only one team gets an A-plus, and it's the team that wins the Super Bowl. So this is an A-minus, but amazing season for the Browns. And I think we have the coach and the GM that it's not going to be 18 more years. I think you're going to see us back next year in the years going forward.
Yeah, so for me, though, I'm going to break it down two ways. So as far as the team goes, I'm going to give them like a B-plus because the defense is just – not we're done talking about it. Now the season itself, though, I'll go A plus because you want to talk about, you know, exceeding expectations, and we suffered, guys. 1-15, 0-16, the Freddie fiasco. Right. I mean, firing Hugh and going through, you know, Greg Williams, and just it's been crazy. And now this year comes around, it's like, wow, every week it was like more and more of that stability, that culture, you know, Stefanski's. You could look at his face from any game this season. It looks exactly the same.
One of my favorite,
exactly the same.
One of my favorite parts about the Browns season this year is there were no headlines.
Yeah.
How many times with the when Freddie was our coach in one season, it's like every week there's a headline about the Browns.
You were most of the weeks you're begging for them to talk about us.
Yeah, this year I'm like
it took us to be one of like the last eight teams in the for them to actually like mention the Browns on.
It was frustrating too. Like we won Sunday night game. And I'd turn on TV in the morning, and they'd be talking about – they'd talk about the Eagles game 10 times before they mentioned the fact that we won the – we were just on national TV.
Right.
And you're not talking about the winner of the Sunday night game. You're talking about the Eagles lost by 4 touchdowns again. How many times are you going to talk about that game? So in their divisional playoff promo for the NFL too, all these teams got like all like these – player montages and stuff, and then in the last 2 seconds of the commercial, it's Baker and Miles jumping into each other. It's like, okay, NFL. Okay. Well, we'll see you next year.
We have embraced that Cleveland against the world. I mean, that is real thing.
Which is why we started the podcast.
Exactly why we started the podcast.
Because I was tired of not, you know, I was tired of not being able to ever hear about the Browns. Annoyed the crap out of me. So,
We fixed the problem.
Yeah. No. No more problems, just solutions.
That's right.
Right.
So, all right. Well, we're going to get into, you know, episodes into the future. We're going to talk about some of the players we want to see back on the team next year. We're going to talk about, you know, players that maybe should hit the road. So, stuff we didn't touch on today, we're definitely going to touch on in later episodes. Before we get out of here, we're going to do our game picks for this week. Zach, do you have the information?
Yep. So we all went 2-2 this week. We all picked the Packers to beat the Rams. It was kind of a closer game there towards the end. They got a late touchdown, won by 14. Bills, Ravens, we were split. And then Browns, Chiefs, obviously, we all picked the Browns. And then Bucks, Saints, we were split as well. So everybody went 2-2.
Wait, did I pick the Saints?
Yeah, you picked the Saints.
That's funny because the whole night I'm like, sweet, I'm going to win this one.
Because me and Justin picked the Buccaneers.
Huh.
And then, right?
No, I picked the Saints.
Yeah.
I picked the Saints.
No, you picked the Bucs then. I thought it was you that picked the Bucs. So, no, you picked the Buccaneers.
Okay.
With me. I knew there was two of us. I thought it was Justin that picked the Buccaneers.
I talked myself out of it. All week I said I was taking the
Bucs. I just knew my biggest thing was I just didn't think that you could beat Tom Brady. Now, Tom Brady didn't play great. They're defense. But
he can still throw the ball at 43. Yes. Drew Brees? No, cannot. Yeah.
Tom Brady, you know, did what he needed to win. Their offenses, but their defense came to play.
Dude, their defense won them that game.
Their defense came to play. That Devin White that came back, I mean, the guy's an animal.
And that, is it Levante David, right?
Yes. Yeah, so we're going to move into conference championship. Four great teams, four great quarterbacks. You know, hopefully Mahomes plays. You know, I want to see him play.
Oh, if he doesn't play, it'll be so disappointing.
I
want to see.
I know he was a limited participant today in practice. I hope that he gets out there on the field. Because
no, they said he took every snap in practice today.
Every snap.
He just hasn't cleared protocol yet.
Okay,
correct.
So, I mean, it'd be huge to see him and Josh Allen, you know, in the AFC. And then you got Tom Brady. You got two young guns in the AFC. You got two vets in the NFC. So first game is the NFC Championship, 3:00. Green Bay is a 3-point favorite. Buccaneers at Lambeau in the cold weather. But Tampa Bay's got a certain quarterback that's used to that.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. But, I mean, Tampa Bay just smacked
Green Bay. They played in week six. Yep.
That was Aaron Rodgers' bad game.
38-10.
Yep.
Smacked him.
He had two picks back-to-back, I believe, right, early on, like first or second quarter.
Green Bay was up. I think Green Bay was up 10-0 in that game, I think.
He had two of his five
picks. They were at least winning in the first quarter.
Yep.
of that game. So what do we got? Who wants to go first? Who's kicking us off? Who's going to the Super Bowl for the NFC?
This is a tough because the Buccaneers are playing better. And that we just, you know, you just talked about how good their defense played, but Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams right now
are another level. Yeah.
Like, they have one receiver, and everybody knows it, and still nobody can stop it. So, I'm going to go Green Bay. I'm going to go the Packers. Although, I think it would be kind of cool to see Tom Brady, like, playing for number 7.
Man, you know, I think with a different team.
Yeah.
There's a lot of younger NFL fans out there that don't realize how we're kind of at that changing of the guard of QB. You know, you're the Drew Brees, the Phillip Rivers, the Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers. You know, all these older guys that have dominated for the last 10 years are on their way out. And there's some new guys, you know, trying to fill those roles.
Well, we were talking about that over the weekend. The AFC is actually going to be stacked with quarterbacks. Yes. The NFC, not so much right now, but the AFC is going to be ridiculous.
Yes. So I think, you know, this game is going to be fun to watch. Might be one of the last times you get to see these two play up against each other. But I'm with Blake. I'm going to go Green Bay just because they're at home. I know Tom Brady's used to the cold, but not all of them players were in New England.
And just see, there's just something about this Green Bay team that's different this year.
Yeah.
You're not running the ball down their throats like you were
early in the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, their defense, that Mike Pettine defense.
Oh, Jesus.
he's going to have a chance to get a ring this year. I'm taking the Packers. In a close game though.
I'm excited to watch this one.
Like a 34-31, 28-24, a close game.
I'm actually going to take the Bucs because as well as the Packers are playing, I mean, there was a portion of that game last week where the Rams could have tied it. Like they could have made it a real game.
Right.
And it just didn't go their way. But that's with Jared Goff. This is Tom Brady. So
Rams have the best defense in the league, though, and they gave up, what, 30-some points? Packers put up over 30 on, I mean,
now
clearly
the
best defense.
Don't hear what I'm not saying. If the Packers win, I'm not going to – my jaw's not hitting the floor, guys, okay? Like, I can easily see them winning. Part of this is just because I want to argue with you guys a little bit, so.
I kind of agree, man. Like, I was going to take Green Bay, but then, like, the Saints all year have been a very, very good team. Like, and even with injuries and...
Very limited on offense, though. Very limited. And they were without Taysom Hill and Latavius Murray. And
Michael Thomas didn't have a catch, correct?
Correct.
No. So, but he did come out and say he was playing hurt.
He's got to have two surgeries.
I don't care. If you're out there, you better be able to contribute.
He's having multiple surgeries, like, this week. He said that he knew that it might be Drew Brees' last game and he wasn't going to not play, regardless of how he felt. So, just throwing that out there.
Give me Tampa.
Tampa. I think that Tampa Bay has, you know, they're the biggest, you know, team that ceiling wise, you know, everybody plays up to their ability. They're loaded both sides of the ball.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's a lot of mouths to feed. And Green Bay's got one mouth to feed. His name's Davante Adams. Just get him the ball and hand the ball off to Aaron Jones, who's pretty good. And they got a tight end who's decent. He only had 11 touchdowns this year. So I like Green Bay. That's going to be a close game. I thought it was funny. Aaron Rodgers was asked about the week 6, how they got blown out in an interview, I think, on the Pat McAfee show. And they were talking about it. And he goes, so what do you think? You know, do you think about that, you know, 38-10 loss in week 6? And he goes, well, I don't know. You know, Saints whooped on Tampa Bay a few weeks back at their place, and they just took care of business there. So I don't worry about those things.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting. So that'll take us into the AFC Championship game. We have the Bills and Josh Allen, who's probably the hottest team, you know, other than maybe Green Bay's been playing well. But, I mean, Bills have been playing really well, taking on the Chiefs. Chiefs are a 3-point favorite at home.
See, this
one's with Mahomes. I would
say this one is tough because if he's not at full strength, I could easily see the Bills pulling this one out. But if Mahomes is at full strength, I don't know. I don't know how you go against him.
I don't think it matters. I think Buffalo wins.
Do you?
Yeah.
Mahomes at full strength or not, you're taking the Bills?
I'm taking Bills. They deserve it. Their fans deserve it.
They do.
Go smash a table.
I don't know, though. Chad Henne.
It's a tough
what
game.
A storyline that would be. Chad Henne gets a start, goes to the Super Bowl. Everybody think he's Nick Foles.
Nah, they're not playing the Browns this week.
The Bills actually haven't looked that impressive in the playoffs so far, except for holding the Ravens to 3 points.
Right. Well, yeah. That game was one of the – it was like the Raiders-Browns game. I mean, yep. They were playing in 30-mile-per-hour winds. Yep.
So, but like you said, one of the hottest teams in the league. I didn't want to play the Bills.
I didn't want to play the Bills.
I thought if the Browns played the Bills, we were getting beat by a lot. So I'm going to go with the Bills.
Man, this is – so you guys are both taking the Bills. You're taking the Chiefs.
I think I will take the Chiefs.
You're taking the Chiefs.
The thing with me is I still don't know what Josh Allen's going to do in a big game like this. Is he going to go out and just let it rip? Or is he going to play a little more conservative because he just wants to get to that game? I know Mahomes will let it rip.
Oh, he's a gunslinger. He doesn't care. Josh Allen's a gunslinger.
Josh Allen, bro. He don't GAF.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I think I'm going to go, just based off what we just saw from the Chiefs defense, I'm going to take the Chiefs in this game. I think that
I don't think they can blitz the crap out of the Bills like they did us, though, because of Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I know, but I just
Cole Beasley.
Did you see that throw last week where Diggs, he had his defenders beat. He was wide open. I mean, all he had to do was put the ball in his hands, and he was gone for a touchdown. Allen overthrew him by like 15 yards or something. It was like,
there he is. That's the guy. That's the Josh Allen I know. Yeah.
So I'm going to go Chiefs in a close game now. Obviously, if Henny has to play, I don't think that they even remotely stand a chance. Mahomes, I don't know if I think he's going to get back from the concussion part of it, but that toe, I don't know what he did. I don't know what's going on with his toe, but you could tell his throws weren't even the same once he got hurt.
Yep.
So that might be a little bit more effective too. But the defense impressed me this week. I'm at the high scoring game. Now, don't think I'm thinking the Chiefs defense is holding anybody down, but can they get maybe a half of a stop by holding them to a field goal? Mm-hmm. Maybe.
All right, so is that it?
That's it.
All right, so we'll see how we do. We got a couple more weeks of picks left. I have a feeling we're all going to be buying Zach dinner. I don't know if anybody can catch him. I don't think there's enough games left.
Yeah, I think I had I can't remember. I'd have to send you guys the list.
I'll send you some links.
Some
Little Mike and Dave's wedding? No.
Mm-hmm. I love that movie, bro.
All right, so let's wrap this thing up so I can get out of here. Thanks for checking out another live episode of The Dogs. We really appreciate it. Again, thank you guys for tuning in all season. Brown season might be done, but we're not done here on The Dogs, so make sure you guys keep checking in, especially the next few weeks. We're definitely going to take you to the end of the NFL season at the very least. Make sure you guys check out our website, thedogspodcast.com, so you can leave us a voicemail. We want to hear your thoughts on the season. Play some of them. Keep them PG, and we can play them live on the show. If you get a little bit rated R, we'll have to listen to them, then we'll paraphrase on the show for you. So remember to check out all of our social media pages. Facebook, please share the video on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram. Please go subscribe on YouTube. Remember to check out Thrive Fantasy. Use promo code DAWGS, DAWGS. Get your 100% match on deposits of $20 or more up to $50. Get yourself a hoodie at our merch store, getlevelpod.com/store. Got a lot of cool options on there. Josh's hoodie is really awesome. There's some, we got like a Nick Chubb one on there that's really awesome. So check that out. Get yourself a hoodie. Buy your girlfriend a hoodie, because she's probably always wearing yours anyways. So that's going to wrap it up here for the Dogs today. No Browns game next week, but we'll catch you guys. We haven't decided on a day yet. Schedule's a little bit more loosey-goosey now that we don't got any games to recap, but we'll catch you guys sometime next week. We'll talk about who we want to see back on the Browns roster next year, who we think we need to add to compete, and obviously we'll talk about the AFC and NFC championship games. So have a good week, everybody.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.